S-R-A.
We got a big problem here. Intel tells us we're dealing with one guy. We think we got a fucking fire team out there.
My guy in D.C. tells me that we are not dealing with a student here. We're dealing with a professor. Anytime the military has an operation that can't fail, they call this guy in to train the troops, okay? He's the kind of guy that would drink a gallon of gasoline so he could piss in your campfire. You could drop this guy off at the Arctic Circle wearing a pair of bikini underwear without his toothbrush, and tomorrow afternoon he's going to show up at your poolside with a $1 million smile and a fist full of pesos. This guy's a professional, you got me? If he reaches this rig, we're all going to be nothing but a big goddamn hole right in the middle of Alaska. So let's go find him and kill him and get rid of this son of a bitch.
So the bartender lived. The bartender never gets killed.
My name is Serge, and how can I help you?
Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
What about you, Peggy Susan?
I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. I'll fine him for three, but I'll catch him and kill him for $10.
What is it you want us to do?
I want to talk to Samson. Fly me to the moon like that $10 cramp.
Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle.
I admire your luck, Mr.
Call me Snake.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Viso.
Welcome to episode 81 of Cinema Crespo Viso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, in the Crespo Viso studio, thanking you for downloading the show and checking us out. We appreciate it. If it's your first time downloading, hey, how the hell did you find us? Thank you so much. And it's your 81st time or more, because we have bonus episodes. Thanks for coming around and keep coming. We appreciate it. If it wasn't for you, I'd probably still be doing this. I mean, I don't know. Vanity project like this. Hanging out with me is Drew Sacogburn. Drew, how's it going?
How's it going, Chris?
Get your own laughter.
How are you doing this week?
Hanging out. I'm doing all right. You know, it's... Summer's winding down, summer movie season anyway, as we do that transition from July to August.
And there are still some good movies coming out.
Still a handful of good movies, but, you know, it's the smaller movies, because... It's a slow ramp down every summer into the doldrums of September. Well, September's always a weird month for movies.
Seems to be a big movie on the 1st. It seems to be a big movie, two big movies on the 8th, what they think are going to be big.
Possibly.
Same thing on the 15th.
But they're not going to be that big because they're August. August movies, if we're going to talk about some numbers, history, there's only about 5 or 6 movies that have ever opened to more than $50 million in the month of August.
And then even so, but they're billed as big movies.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if they were supposed to make a lot of money, then the studios would be releasing them in May is the month. June is a good time. End of June, July. It's looking like Transformers is going to be the first $1 billion film of the year.
Fantastic.
You know, hey, what are you going to do? But, we'll see. This will be an interesting August. There are a few movies left coming out, and then the summer is going to be over, but still. Enjoy the summer while we got it. Drink some pina coladas. Add a couple pina coladas kind of recently.
How are they?
They're good. They're good. A little boozy.
No.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was very summery.
Yeah. Good. Booze and summer go together well.
Just watching some Price is Right while I was drinking them.
Price is Right. Yeah. Pina coladas. Yeah. Where were you?
Vacationing. That was during my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the river. Watching dolphins.
You sound like you're an old man.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Just saying.
Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with sounding content? Because that was pretty sweet.
I mean, if that's what makes you happy, Chris.
It was pretty sweet, dude. It was all Prices Right, and then various cooking competition Foods of America shows. The Burgers of Miami. I saw that show.
Sounds awful.
It's like the Hot Wives of Orlando, except it was burgers, and it was in Miami.
It was only one episode.
And there wasn't any comedy. It was more about food.
Yeah. Food porn?
Yeah, there was only one episode. That's correct. The next one was about like the burgers of Minneapolis or some shit.
Nice.
Anyway. Before we start the show, I had a quick idea. We need to up our social media presence, so to speak. You know, I'm doing as much as I can over here on my end.
Mm-hmm.
But we need the help of the people that are listening. You could really help us out right now. If you're listening to the show, you know, on your phone or at your computer, you can easily go to Twitter and just do a quick update listening to Cinema Crespedizo. Hashtag. Cinema Crespedizo, so we can see them all, so we can see all the tweets. If you want to add the Twitter, Crespedizo Twitter handle, at Crespedizo, to it, make sure that we see it so we can retweet it all. But, you know, I mean, we got a decent amount of people download and listen to the show. And if they like what we're doing, let the people know. Tweet that you're listening to us, hashtag Cinema Crespedizo. But some people aren't on Twitter, though.
Yeah.
Some people don't like it too much.
I have Twitter. I don't even use it.
You don't use it very much. But some people are more active on Facebook.
The Book of Faces.
Guess what? We're in the Book of Faces.
I really don't use that much either
but
anymore.
Some people still use it. I don't know. Somewhere around 200 million people still use it. Something like
Goddamn.
That worldwide. It's insane. A crazy, crazy number. So hey, if you're listening to the show and you got that Facebook right there, just go ahead and put it that you're listening to the show. You can tag our Facebook page, Cinema Crespedizo. So let the people know so they can like it and share it and poke you. And, you know, things like that. Look at your relationship status and creep through your pictures from years ago.
People do that all the time.
Oh, that's
really
weird. That's what people do.
Yeah.
That's what people do. So, yeah, I mean, it's a small thing. It's a small thing to ask, right?
So how many of your Facebook friends have you trolled through their photos?
Every single one of them. And their wives and girlfriends / sisters and cousins. And
whatever you can have access to.
Whatever's there. Yeah. I'm not picky. Yeah. I'm a little picky.
That's a little weird.
Not that picky. Hey, you asked. Give you a pause for that one.
I should stop asking questions I don't want to know the answer to.
That is the truest thing you have said in quite a while, Drew. Yes. That is absolutely true. All right. True. Drew. Speaking of which, True Drew. Maybe we can call it that. We need to do a thing where I want to add like a Drewster Cogburn segment to the show every week. We already do the Dr. Drew's yeah. 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
The idea with that one is where you're doing like a topic per episode. So there's the video games one, yeah. The comic books one,
yes.
The food one, all fun topics. Mm-hmm.
Nothingness.
Nothingness, that was a fun one. Influential people, that was a fun one. Common misconceptions.
That was a good one, too.
That one's ripe for sequeling, franchising, you mm-hmm. know. But for this show, I don't know, I think it would be nice to have a little, something short, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, a little thing that you can do on maybe during the second half of the show. It could be like, you do like video games. I mean, it could be something yep. video game related. You could be like, here's this week's.
There aren't a lot of good games out right now.
Oh, no. We'll have to, maybe we can just do, you can review video games that are based on movies. And as well, review movies that are based on video games.
So you just want me talking shit on garbage product, because that's pretty much what it is.
You might stumble across the occasional goodie.
There aren't that many.
There aren't that many, no.
Of either.
But maybe you'll find them.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, think about it. Think about it. See if you can think of something. You know, it doesn't got to be that.
I'll figure
whatever.
Out.
You'll figure something out. If anyone has an idea, go ahead and let us know what we can do for a Drewster Cogburn segment. It'll be a lot of fun. But all right, here we go. Speaking of segments, segment that we do all the time, Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Let's get that puppy started. Warming it up. A previous pick of the week that one of those ones that frequently gets put up, taken down. It's back up. Michael Mann's Manhunter.
Sweet.
That's a bonus. That's just a reminder because it's been a pick before.
It's a good one.
So if you haven't seen Michael Mann's Manhunter, watch that. And then watch Heat directly afterwards. That'll make a hell of a double feature. All right, Drewster.
All right, Chris. It's from 1976.
Okay.
It's rated R.
Okay.
1 hour, 30 minutes.
Now we're 30.
You rated it 3 stars.
Short hour 30, 1976, 3 stars. Okay. We need some more facts.
You got an understaffed, almost abandoned police station.
Oh, so it's directed by John Carpenter?
Correct.
And starring some people who people don't know?
Yes, a whole lot of people that nobody knows.
1976?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had trivia'd me on that one, I would have pegged it more around 78, 79, 76. The assault on Precinct 13.
That is correct.
John Carpenter's assault on Precinct 13. That is a 3.5 out of 5 stars type of scenario there. But if I had to go 3 out of 4, had to scale that one back to 3 stars for the Netflix algorithm purposes. But it's a fun movie. It's cool. It's very, very low budget. Very,
very violent.
Very violent. Very. It was notorious at the time for showing pretty much the catalyst of the movie is all the way in the beginning when this roaming gang of sort of satanic religious psychopaths.
Sweet.
They, I love satanic psychopaths.
They shoot a little girl. She goes to the ice cream truck to get some ice cream.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
I mean, I love worshiping Satan. Not so much down with child murder, though.
Well, they shoot a girl. The dad gets traumatized, and the dad sees it. He runs off. The gang guys are chasing the dad. Dad holds up in the police precinct that is shutting down. So it's like it's mostly empty. Everything is over at the new precinct that's like a few miles away or whatever. And then the gang comes to try to get the dude. So there's only like a handful of people working at the station. And it's like a siege movie.
Sweet.
And then also on the side, there's a prisoner transport. They had to stop at that particular precinct. So there's this dude in there whose name is Napoleon something or other. I forgot the character. It's Napoleon Jones? Napoleon? It's just this dude who's like notorious, the notorious bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, and they got to like team together to fend off all the crazy satanic cult type people.
So when did they say assault on Precinct 13?
That's the funny thing. Funny you mentioned that. You asked that, Drew. The precinct that they're at, not Precinct 13.
Oh!
They're at like Precinct 9 or something. The distributor, the marketer, whoever it was that was putting the movie out in theaters felt that Precinct 13
sounded better.
Interesting.
Then nobody says it.
No.
They don't say it. It's awful.
They don't say it. So you gotta
say it.
They gotta say it. That one, they don't say it. So that's why. That's why I drew 3 stars, not 4.
All right.
Although it's really a 3.5.
Because they don't say it.
Type of thing. But it's good. It's a fun movie. Obviously, it was one of the many remade John Carpenter movies from the last decade or so when they did it with Gabriel Byrne and Ethan Hawke. That was actually a pretty good movie. They should. Although that one, the one with Ethan Hawke, they could have just called that movie Headshots. Because that's how everyone dies in that movie. They all get shot in the head or face.
Sweet. Headshots. I mean, that's a completely different movie.
Totally different movie. all right, so there you go. 1976 John Carpenter's Assault on Precinct 13. Guaranteed part of the score goes like boom, 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 boom. And a little bit of keyboard. Boing, boing, boom, boom, boom. Because it's all John Carpenter.
Yeah.
He does his own scores.
Yep.
And, all right, cool. So there you go. Good stuff. Good stuff, dude.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right, let's get into that that box office recap for the weekend. What do you got? Where are the numbers?
Starting off number 10.
I like it.
The Most Wanted Man.
I like when we start the top five.
At number 10. Number 10, Most Wanted Man had a weekend gross of 2.7 mil. Same as the total budget of not listed on Box Office Mojo.
Can't be that much money. I would put it at like 15, 20 million maybe, considering the actors in the film.
Yeah.
Some good actors in there. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Willem Dafoe.
Yep.
What's her name? Rachel McAdams.
Yep. A whole bunch of other people.
I mean, they had to pay those people too. I mean, you know, not as much as Mr. Hoffman.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Probably the I think it's a, this is the last movie he did.
In its entirety.
He didn't finish all his stuff for the final Hunger Games movie.
Wow.
So we still got that to come out.
Sweet.
But he's pretty much the lead in this one. Based on a John Le Carre novel. John Le Carre. French.
Yeah.
He does a spy novel type shit, like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Which was good.
Good stuff. This one is a post 9/11 type spy novel. Spy story.
Yes.
It's all takes place in Hamburg.
In Germany.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has a German accent.
Of sorts.
As does Willem Dafoe.
Not really.
And Richard McAdams.
Yeah, like when Willem Dafoe said, like, what did he say? He said, like, what's the German word for girl?
Fraulein.
Yeah. He said that to Richard McAdams in the movie, and I was just like, wow, that sounded really weird.
He was like, Fraulein.
Yeah, it didn't sound German at all.
Fraulein. Like Willem, that's
yeah,
wrong.
He had a really bad accent.
Yeah, it's a weird. The German accent's a weird one, I guess. Well, it could have been maybe. Anyway, I could argue. Not gonna talk about. Not get up. There's a lot of talk about that movie accent work. It's the surface level. It's an interesting movie. It's a pot boiler type of thing where, you know, the slow burn as information gets doled out and the players move around. And
I mean, I normally like movies like that. Mm-hmm, for some reason, this one didn't get me. Like, there was never a point in time where I was like, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even when I was finding new information, it wasn't like...
Like world like, changing. Like, yeah, oh, shit. Like,
it doesn't... Okay.
Yeah. I think it's in part because, I don't know, when the movie was over, not to be, like, spoilery or give away details or anything, when the movie ended, I was kind of wondering, like, what was the point of that?
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, so what's the big lesson that was learned? It ended in a weird spot where I was like, it felt like there should have been something else after that.
Well, no, because apparently that was the end of it.
Well, that was the end of that, but then what was learned? What was the real outcome? Just people getting screwed?
Yeah, people getting screwed, especially by Americans.
I mean, does it take a movie that long and a story that slightly convoluted, I know, right? To come up with that, you know, big finale? Ooh.
Agreed.
That's probably why this movie was released in July instead of, you know, November. December. Even though the acting's good, Hoffman's great.
He is.
The direction's good. It's just, I guess it's the story. The story just doesn't feel as...
Yeah, it just wasn't... It didn't grab me like I thought a movie like this would.
Yeah. Yeah, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was more...
It got me.
Yeah, it was more intense.
Yeah.
Or even movies like some of the earlier Jack Ryan movies, like the...
A lot of those movies, yeah, they call them slow burn because there's an explosion at the end. This was like there was slow burn to a firecracker. Exactly.
Aww. That was it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as good as I was hoping. I mean, it was good. It wasn't great. It was missing. It was definitely missing.
It was missing something.
It was missing something. What was it missing? That's a tough one. That's one where it's like it takes a while. You got to think about it. Think back on the story, different things that happen. You got the two real main characters. You got the Philip Seymour Hoffman's character. The only thing you know about him is that he's
German.
He's German. He had a bad experience in Beirut, yep, which they kind of explain it later.
No.
And that he's
in Hamburg.
He's in Hamburg, and he's trying to keep the world safe by rooting out terrorists and their money and, you know, just trying to get answers. Then over here on the other side, he got a lawyer, Rachel McAdams, who she's a lawyer for...
This guy named Issa.
Issa, right?
Issa Karpov.
He's a Chechenian. Yeah.
Chechenian Muslim.
Chechenian Muslim who was, for I guess, maybe ethnic cleansing. I don't know.
Probably.
He was in prison in Russia and then in prison in Turkey. He busted out. He was trying to seek asylum in Germany. Lawyer's trying to help him out. But then there's money involved. And it could be funneled into, like, Muslim charities that are a front for terrorism. So then there's this other guy. But then it takes a while to get to that guy. The what's his name? Faisal Abdullah or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we learn about him in the beginning.
And then
he's gone for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And then he comes back in towards the end. And they're going, oh, yeah, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's part of
Willem
the problem.
Willem Dafoe's a banker.
Willem Dafoe's a banker who,
and
like...
All he really does is facilitate things. He's like, he knows Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he knows,
yeah,
the other guy.
He's not complicit. Like, even when they tell him what the money's for, he's like, oh, well, I guess I'm gonna help because I want to be a good guy. You know, I'm just inherited this business from my father, which just happened to make me rich. And then there's that one scene of him going home,
yeah,
and seeing his wife, and she was like... don't fall on your face drunk.
Exactly.
And then that's it.
And then
he drinks a scotch.
I tell the Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
That's all we learn about that character. Yeah, pretty much that's a cipher of a character. No. Pretty pointless.
He's rich. He owns a bank.
Yep. And but he doesn't really have to make any tough moral decisions at any
point.
No,
not at all.
Yeah. Kind of a waste of a character. And then there's this, you know, we got Hoffman's team, which is like they got that dude, Daniel Brühl.
Yeah, he was in
Rush.
Yeah.
And then Glorious Bastards.
Correct.
That's good.
Yeah.
But this one, he just sat behind a computer.
Yeah.
He was like, just typed away.
This is where we're going.
You know, some information in the German accent. Because I am actually German. No, okay. Thank you. At least we have one. You know,
one German guy.
Okay, no offense to Rachel McAdams. I like her. She's good. Diane Kruger, also from Inglourious Basterds, that blonde chick, mm-hmm, she would have been good for that role.
Yeah.
Was she busy? What's going on? Couldn't get some Germans in there?
Probably not. Well, I guess not.
Where was Christoph Waltz? Guy, apparently, he just does German TV in Germany. Couldn't have been that busy. Tarantino's not making a movie right now, right?
Correct. Not that we know of.
Christoph Waltz just sitting around polishing his two Oscars, waiting for someone to give him a German role. Anyway. So yeah, it was good, but felt like it could have been better.
Definitely could have been better.
Yeah, for sure. Well then, how would you recommend? Would you say what should people?
If you're into these type of movies, it's worth watching. There's no great payoff. I mean, you could easily skip it.
Yeah, you could.
If you're really into Philip Seymour Hoffman,
if you're a completist, if you would like to see. Because you're not going to get much more after this in The Hunger Games. That's all you're going to get for Philip Seymour Hoffman.
But in all realities, this is totally a skippable movie.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, so, I mean, red box it. Maybe if you're stuck on an airplane, that type of thing. Just wait for it to hit HBO in a couple years.
It'll put you to sleep. I almost fell asleep a couple times.
Hey-yo! Take that! A Most Wanted Man. Almost put Drew Sycamore into bed.
Well. Notice myself just kind of nodding, blinking a little bit too long.
Well, it was a long day, too. Oh. Spilled a little beer on myself. Yeah, can you go away while I clean this up?
Number five this week, Planes, Fire, and Rescue. $9.3 million, total of $35 million, budget of $50 million. Don't really care about this movie.
Yeah,
we'll move on to number four.
Yeah, there's really nothing to say at this time about
that. The Purge Anarchy, $9.8 million, total of $51 million, budget of $9 million.
That's pretty good. I mean, you know, so they're gonna, for such a low-budget movie, obviously, they're going to be very happy with that.
Are they going to keep making these, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's a franchise?
They're going to have to. If they keep the budget low, they keep pulling in $70 million, $80 million, then why not? Yeah. Distributed by Universal, they're doing a... Purge Anarchy themed scare zone at Universal Halloween Horror Nights.
Sweet. Yeah, then hopefully we'll get some more of these because I thought this one was definitely better than the last one.
I thought it was a lot better.
And I would love to see, this universe expanded to see what the fuck else is going on in America during these, night like this.
What happens in other cities in the countryside?
Yeah. I mean, dude, this.
What happens in Miami?
You never know.
With all the fritas?
Yeah.
Trying to bring it all back together.
It could be interesting. So that's all I'm saying.
Maybe they'll increase the budget all the way up to like $12 million.
Yeah. Maybe we get some really bloody stuff.
Extra.
Bigger explosions.
Extra squibs. I got the extra squib money that we asked for.
Sweet.
It's here. All right, moving on.
Number three, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Weekend is 16.4, total 172 on a budget of 170.
Add on 181 foreign. We're at $353 million worldwide. We'll be able to even get to $200 million. It's going to be, what's that? What did it just make? About $9 million?
Yeah, it's three. No, it made 16.
This weekend? 16. Yeah. Next weekend, 8. Following weekend, 4. Ooh, it's going to struggle. We have to keep it in theaters long enough. It could just get to 200.
No.
That's 200's a harder number to get to this year. 22 Jump Street is stalling out around 180. How to Train Your Dragon 2, stalling out around 165, 170. Maleficent made up to 232.
Yeah.
What else we got on here? What made X-Men Days of Future Past, 231.
It's been out for 10 weeks.
But it's been out for, it's pretty much done. And you know what? Godzilla's on this list here. I think Godzilla is going to squeak to 200 million. That's an elusive number.
Yeah.
Well, it's an elusive number, and it's not a number that the number two movie is going to get to.
Now, the number two movie, Hercules, had a weekend gross of $29 million, same as a total budget of $100
million. $100 million budget, actually pretty low. Pretty low. So, $3 million opening weekend. Say, if it even tripled that here, then that's 90. If it get 200, 300 international, let's put it at 300 to 400 worldwide. They'll be happy with that. And that they're definitely banking on international on this one. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It hasn't really come out in foreign theaters yet, though, so that's going to take a few weeks to pan out. Okay, here we go. Hercules. Brett Ratner's Hercules, starring Dwayne
The Rock
Johnson. Drew Sycamore, what'd you think?
Well, first off, it wasn't the movie that it was billed to be.
No.
They
sold us a different movie.
I did enjoy the weird little twist that it took, and I don't want to give it away if people plan on seeing the movie. I did enjoy that. I thought that was cool.
Mm.
But I mean, on the whole, this was another case of things having potential and falling flat.
Yeah, I was a little, you know what? My expectations were really, really low. I mean, I was expecting a train wreck of a movie.
Well, so was I, but I thought there would be awesome rock things happening.
Yeah.
There weren't really a lot of awesome rock things happening.
Yeah, kind of a lack of Herculean efforts from Hercules.
No.
They kept talking about all those labors.
Yes.
Never really showed anyone.
They showed a couple, but they were the ones that you saw in the previews.
Yeah, they're all, everything, pretty much, it's one of those things where they show you a lot of stuff in those previews.
But there were, I mean, some labors they really couldn't, you know, because of the twist that they took.
The labors.
It's kind of, you know.
You know what? I would have liked a more straightforward Hercules movie than the approach that they took. That being said,
agreed.
I really didn't think it was a bad movie, per se. Passable. It's watchable. It's got jokes.
Yeah,
I know.
The theater was cracking up at the jokes.
Yeah, it's only, we saw it in a packed theater. And, people actually seem to enjoy it quite a bit more than us, I guess.
Yeah.
But that happens. That happens.
Happens quite often, actually.
But, for me, I was like, this is okay. I wasn't hating it at any point. So that's a good sign.
Well, me neither. I mean, I didn't hate it. I would just say it definitely, with the amount of talent that they had and the $100 million budget, they could have put out a better product.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they could have. But they didn't. Brett Ratner. Boom, there you go. That's what he does at the stop. So, yeah, I would say this is definitely it. Wait for HBO, you know, if you want to see it, Netflix it type of thing.
Or, yeah, it'll be on Netflix real quick.
Yeah. It's not really, I mean, I like The Rock. He's great in it. The Rock is awesome.
Yeah.
Give The Rock more barbarian type roles. You know,
oh, yeah, totally. Make him Conan, for Christ's sake.
Make him Conan already, people. What are you waiting for? But, it's it wasn't very good.
And number one movie this week, Lucy. Had a weekend gross of $44 million, same as total. Budget of $40 million.
Lucy,
I'm home.
Yeah, see, I didn't understand how this was based on I Love Lucy. It's not.
No, you're totally. You're wrong.
I didn't get the connection there.
You were mistaken.
There's
sir.
No Desi Arnaz.
Nope.
No Copacabana.
It's not that Lucy.
No salsa music anywhere. It was in Paris.
Yes.
That's not very Cuban.
It's Luc Besson, man. Come on.
Luc Besson? Yeah. Lucy. Luc Besson. Start with starring the Scarlet. ScarJo.
He likes strong female leads.
Morgan Freeman. Yeah. And it's she gets some drugs in her.
And becomes super smart.
And becomes
using 100% of her brain.
Yep. That whole, yeah.
Hey, yeah. I know.
The whole 10% of your brain thing is, it's been proven to be a falsehood.
Yes.
You know, it's not real. It's pretty dumb. But yet this whole movie is centered on that conceit.
Yes.
Which is like, oh man, you're taking my bridge of suspension of disbelief and you're just bringing elephants across this thing, you know, just trying to bring it down as hard as you can right at the beginning. But, when it's all said and done, it's a fine movie.
It was a fun sci-fi action movie.
Yeah.
Once again, though, I think it fell flat.
At times, for sure. Absolutely.
It was. I mean, it had a lot of really cool ideas that they really didn't explore very far.
No,
at all.
Not at all. No, like the part where, you see this a little bit in the trailer where she's like falling apart.
Yeah.
The cells are coming.
What the?
And then they never see that again.
Yeah. This is kind of
just sorry. Yeah. We got through that.
Uh-huh.
It's fine.
Yep.
The, quote, car chase scene was weird because it wasn't a car chase. It was her trying to get somewhere really fast. She was driving the car.
And she was just driving the car well enough to where everything else around her was crashing, but she got through unscathed.
Yeah, I mean, so she's driving really quickly through traffic.
And
why are all these other cars, like, they're flipping and they're crashing and there's fire. It's like, what's going on? She's just driving.
Yes.
Correct. And no one's chasing her.
Nope.
No one's shooting guns.
Uh-uh.
No reason for these cars to be flying all over the place, yet they are.
Yes. Well, then it's an action movie, Chris.
Okay. It's definitely.
And then the end?
A dumb one. It definitely earned the word. The end, yeah. So the end, it has a crazy, very sci-fi-ish ending.
Yeah.
Which,
kind of meta.
Which kind of meta sounds like it would work a lot better in a book.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, instead of actually seeing it.
Yeah.
But pretty. Talk about a slow burn that gets to like a pop at the end. And that one had a pop.
Yeah.
That ending was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, it
this,
was.
This
it
is
was
a weird
like,
ending.
Excuse me?
Like, I can't believe that someone made a movie with this kind of type of ending. This is strange.
It is.
But still, yeah. Of the movies we've seen this weekend,
it was the least worst.
Yeah, I guess so.
But not. Yeah. But they were all. Every single one of these movies had issues.
Yeah,
it just dropped them down a level. Like they could have been here, but instead they were here.
They all had potential.
Yeah,
but they did things and made decisions that. It was all kind of like, well, Lucy. I don't know if Lucy could have ever really been. That would have taken a lot of passes on that screenplay.
Yeah,
to get it beyond the level of just like pothead stoner philosophy.
I would have said, make it 2 hours and let's explore some more of those sci-fi elements. And yeah. It probably would have been a better movie.
And be a little smarter about it. If you could.
Be smarter. Little less. Take out the car chase scene. don't need it.
Not necessary. Not. Necessary. So yeah, that's another one where just DVD it, HBO it,
no.
TBS it, FXX.
Because it'll be all on all that stuff. It'll be on the Sci-Fi Channel real quick too.
Yeah, very slight. Yeah,
they'll love it
for sure. All right, well there you go. That's your top five for the weekend. Let's see what we got going on over here. New movies come out on DVD. The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz,
sweet
Leslie Mann.
And Titties McGee.
And Titties McGee, a.k.a. Chelsea LaRue, a.k.a. Katie Uptits, a.k.a. Titty Uptown, a.k.a. She's from Lakeland or some shit, a.k.a.
Really?
Yeah, something
like that. Damn, homegrown.
Maybe she listens to the show. We take all that back.
No, I don't take any of it back.
And that guy from Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, he's got no hand.
Also coming on DVD, Noah. Darren Aronofsky's Noah.
See that movie, people.
Yeah, check that one out. That's a weird one.
It's gonna be, seriously, that movie should just... It goes hand in hand with Exodus. It's going to be like this weird alternate religion movie.
That'll make it interesting. Watch. First you watch Noah, then you watch Exodus, and then Passion of the Christ. So there you go. new movies on DVD. What's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, we got Get On Up.
Get On Up. Get Up.
It's... It's got that Chadwick Boseman guy.
Yeah.
Who's in 42. He's
the Jackie Robinson.
So now he's just doing black biopics.
Now it's James Brown. Yeah. Next he'll do Colin Powell. I was going to say Colin Farrell. Colin Powell.
Yeah.
And then he'll do Colin Farrell.
Sweet.
He's good. Guy's good.
But it looks like an interesting movie-ish.
I think it looks pretty good. I mean, it is just going to be a biopic, music biopic. And yeah. It looks like the type that tries to tell the whole story, hits all the big beats. Think of like a Ray type of thing. Or even... Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Okay.
Great spoof parody of those type of movies. Very underrated movie, that movie, if you ask me. Very underrated movie, that movie.
That movie.
Came out kind of weird.
Kind of like this movie?
Kind of like, well, I don't know, we'll see, we'll find out. Also come.
Cavalry, that Brendan Gleeson is a priest movie.
Oh, okay, we're off.
Nobody really cares about that.
Yeah.
And then we got the big one, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That'll be the big one for sure. The number one movie for the weekend. Very interested to see how much this makes opening weekend.
I don't know how much it's gonna make opening weekend, but I think this movie's gonna have legs.
Legs for sure.
I think a lot of people are gonna come out. I think it's gonna have a decent opening weekend.
It's all about that word of mouth.
And then it's gonna have crazy word of mouth, because who doesn't love a part human, part raccoon mercenary with big guns and filthy mouth?
Moms, grandparents,
the kids are gonna love it.
The kids
and people our age are gonna love it too.
That reminds me, real quick, going back, Hercules, was that rated PG-13?
Yes, it was. They only had one fuck.
They only used one fuck. There was also a titty in there. Did you see the titty? In the beginning?
Okay, it wasn't...
There was a titty.
I don't think it was a full titty.
Her titty was out.
Was it?
Her tit was out.
It had half a titty?
It was just half a titty. Her tit was out. And then more importantly, you could see the areola and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the nipple.
I'm telling you, that's the thing.
That's what makes it be like, whoa.
When she brought it up, you could still... She had like see-through clothes on.
Yeah, she was already doing see-through too. You could still see her titties. But I mean, her tit was out. Yeah. When she put young Hercules to bed, Hercules' mom...
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, because Hercules at that point, that kid was like 5 or 6 or 7.
Looked like it.
So was she breastfeeding him? Is Probably. That why her titty was out?
Yep.
That was a little old to be getting breastfed. Yeah. You know, just a little old. Hercules. Mom's boy.
Whatever. Right,
you know, PG-13 with some titty.
Right after he got done sucking on that titty, he killed 2 snakes.
Yeah, he did. I'm just saying, very progressive to MPAA.
Well.
Hasn't been new like that in the PG-13 movie in a while.
No. Maybe it's okay for kids to see titties.
Maybe it's Maybe it's good for kids to see titties. About time.
Which is good because I like titties.
Yeah, I want to see more titties in movies. You know what? You know what? Earth to Echo needed more of
titties.
You know what? Guardians of the Galaxy needs
alien titties. Because that's all you're gonna get.
Total Recall style.
Yeah.
Three-breasted hooker.
Well, and it's PG-13, so there'll be one fuck.
Yeah, someone's gonna be
and
like,
maybe a full titty.
Something fucking something, but not fucking.
Not fucking
something. It can't be a sexual fuck. That's how they get away with it in PG-13. It can't be a sexual fuck. It can be a non-sexual fuck. Like, fuck you. Or what's this fucking thing? Where are we fucking going?
What is this fucking thing? No, what is this fucking thing?
Who gives a fuck? Oh, what is this fucking thing? Oh, see, no. Now it depends on what you're holding up. Or what you're pointing at.
It's all about inflection, bro.
So tricky. Tricky. That's what happens when you try to legislate words. Yes. And meanings of words. Guardians of the Galaxy. I wouldn't be surprised if it made if it had a $50 million opening weekend. I would call that a success. More than 50. 60 to $70 million upwards.
Kaboom.
Around there. That's big. That's almost record setting. If it more than $75 million is a record, because the highest opening weekend ever for the month of August is around $74 million.
All right.
So if it opens more than that, that's we're talking breaking
Let's
records.
Break some records, people, everybody. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy. Get it $75 million. Okay. I want records broken for Rocket Raccoon.
There you go. That would mean to get there, you would need an opening Friday, opening day, around $25 to $30 million opening day.
We'll see what happens.
That's pretty big.
It could be huge.
How Lucy just opened a $40 million opening weekend.
Yeah,
we're talking about Guardians making $30 million in its first day.
Yes,
be able to get to a weekend that. Also, $40 million opening weekend for a Scarlett Johansson movie where she's the lead. Far and away, biggest opening weekend for any of her movies ever.
I'm sure.
Where she's the like one of the top three.
Yeah, the lead character.
Everything else, less than $10 million opening, like $20 million, $30 million. It's wild. Mm. It's good stuff there. So,
well, she's hot and she kills a lot of people. So,
we'll see. Guardians
Sex
of the Galaxy.
And violence sells.
We'll see how much that Guardians of the Galaxy makes. All right, here we go. Let's do Crespo Disco and take a break. Got a... How deep is your love from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack?
It's about 3 inches.
Ooh.
Not that deep.
And then Peter Tosh's Wanted Dead or Alive off the Pineapple Express soundtrack.
Sweet.
So here you go, guys. Enjoy these two songs. We'll be right back with the second half of episode 81 of Cinema Crest Buddies.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave, and it's me you need to share.
81 of Cinema Crespity. So I am Chris Crespo, still here with Drew Sacagra and Drew.
What up, bro?
Hanging out. Plugs, chriscrespo.com. Please go there. Past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. Reviews of movies. Links to the Instagram and the Twitter and all that stuff. That's all on there, too, you know. All sorts of stuff on chriscrespo.com. So please go there. Rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. We really appreciate it. Follow Drewster Cogburn on the interwebs at antihero419. He's the only anti-hero 419.
Probably. Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? It could be more.
But most likely.
More than likely.
Have you ever stumbled across any other online anti-heroes or maybe in your gaming experiences, online gaming?
I mean, yeah, that's why I couldn't get... That's why I'm 419.
Because 418 was taken, I get it.
Correct.
I get it. Yeah.
Yes, because 418 was taken.
Because your whole thing has got a couple of minutes. That's your thing, right? That's your thing.
Yes, do you have two specifically?
Just 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes?
That's all I need.
If you have 2 minutes, I can change your world.
I can expand your mind, man.
Expand, expansion, Lucy style, to 100%.
I don't know about that. That'd be kind of scary.
Would it be?
That would be. Just a bunch of people. I mean, you saw what happened when Lucy reached 100%. That'd be creepy as fuck if that happened to everybody.
That is a documentary, that's for sure. That's for sure. So this weekend, I don't know if you heard, Drew, but it's the gathering of the Nerdalos.
Oh, yeah. San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Con at SDCC. Hashtag SDCC. Apparently, that's how you keep track of that shit.
Yep.
On the interwebs, on the social media.
Bunch of weirdos all dressed up as things.
Cosplay freakos.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, no. We're not looking down on the
oh, no,
on
definitely
the, on
not.
The farty, smelly nerds.
I just,
who waste their lives with the... No, I'm kidding.
I used to be one of those guys.
Joking. Have you ever been to any conventions like this? East
not,
Coast conventions?
I've never been to any of the big ones back in the day.
Well, like, any convention, even smaller ones.
When I was growing up, they used to have like comic book shows and conventions at the mall.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'd do... It would be those, and then at the end, like, magic cards started getting into them and whatnot. But in the beginning, it was basically... comic books and baseball cards all kind of ramped together.
Okay.
And I used to go. I actually had a booth one year.
Oh, yeah.
Had my own booth. Sold a bunch of shit. Made a bunch of money.
There you go. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Very nice. Well, it's gotten a lot bigger since then.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
Even here in Orlando, in the Central Florida area, there's... What's the one that they do? Is it...
Megacon?
Yeah. That's a pretty big deal.
Yes.
And it's getting bigger every year. Dragon Con up in the ATL.
Yeah.
That's another really big one. Another East Coast convention. But it's really San Diego Comic Con.
That's like the mother of them all.
It's like that one, and then I guess New York Comic Con is the second one after that. But yeah, it's all about that San Diego one. It totally got hijacked by Hollywood.
Oh, yep. Yep. Well, once they got into the whole comic book movie
especially
business.
When they started getting into that, yeah, started tapping into that nerd culture.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of money there, man.
Good amount of money, a lot of positive buzz to be gained. That's even more valuable. Trying to get people to, because you know them nerdos get pretty loud.
Oh yeah,
about their
they go crazy
stuff. You know, I saw on like this. Some of this stuff kind of drives me crazy, right? I saw online that the initial press screening for Guardians of the Galaxy, which is coming out this weekend,
yeah,
Marvel product, is the initial reviews were mostly embargoed, and that. Some positive reviews are out there, but if you look where those positive reviews are coming from, they're all from like really geek-friendly sites, comic mm-hmm. book-friendly sites, yeah. People that are keyed up for this movie already.
Yeah.
And supposedly that most reviews are embargoed until right before the movie comes out, or the day the movie comes out, which usually means the studio's trying to control the word of mouth. If there's bad reviews, they want to hide all the bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So try to get that big opening weekend, right?
Yeah.
So I put that out there on the internet. I was like, oh, this is what I've heard. Not a good sign. I want this movie to be good, but this isn't a good sign. And got some tweets from people. We had some interesting discussions about Guardians of the Galaxy and its box office potential. It was cool. We had some nice open discussions about stuff. Open-minded. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got tweeted from this one guy who, don't remember his name. His icon, his avatar, was still the default egg.
Mm-hmm.
Always a bad sign.
Yeah.
You know, almost didn't even want to initiate any sort of correspondence with. If you still got an egg on your profile, people, please fix it.
Change it to like a smiley face.
Change it to something.
Or a white square.
That would mean you changed it. Yes. Anything. Thank you, Drew. Anything. It's so easy. If it's just an egg, I don't want. You're not serious. And this person kind of just wanted to like argue with me about when the reviews were coming out, and obviously, this person had some sort of vested interest in this movie being perceived as good and wanting it to be good. And that is something that I struggle with. I don't understand how people do that. Like, especially nerds and geeks will latch on to something, a property that's coming out in movie form. And before even seeing it, they're championing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this movie is going to be good. I have nothing to do with the making of it. I haven't seen it. You know, I'm just a fan of it, but I'm going to push it super hard. And it is good, and it will be good. And even if it comes out and it's bad, I'm going to say it's good. That happened a lot with Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
Where the movie's a little disappointing. It's half of a good movie and then half of a blah.
Yeah.
I love the first 45 minutes. Exactly. 45 minutes, like 44 seconds. I love all up to that point. And then something happens in the movie and it switches over. I'm like, eh, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
It gets boring fast. But there are still people out there that they were saying before the movie came out, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So then after the movie came out, just blinders on, they still loved it, you know?
I mean, it was visually stunning.
Oh, yeah, of course. But you know what?
Yeah.
So are, like, a lot of car commercials on TV. Sucker Punch was visually amazing.
Garbage.
That's the movie that broke me, too, personally, on trying to, like, really pimp a movie beforehand without seeing it. I was like, based on the trailers and Zack Snyder's, like, oh, this could be really good, guys.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, get excited for this movie came out. Kind of sucked. It's like, you know what? I fell for it.
Yeah.
No longer shall I fall for it. I'm not saying people are falling for it for Guardians of the Galaxy, but this person on Twitter, I clicked on their name. I looked at their tweets. That's all they were doing. They were going online and tweeting to people about this movie and trying to, like, just run people down who might have had any sort of possible dissenting opinion on what they thought might have been a good movie without having seen it. That's lame.
It's kind of annoying.
That's lame. San Diego Comic-Con. A lot of people are those people. A lot of those guys are there.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The People versus George Lucas?
No.
That's a documentary about how...
The fans hate him.
About the fans hate him and Lucas's whole empire. It's actually pretty in-depth. It's good. But yeah, it's the same thing. The ownership of the art. And it's a weird thing.
You know?
It's strange.
I mean, I agree that George Lucas fucked up, but it was his thing to fuck up.
It is his thing to fuck up. Right?
No. If he wants to fuck it up, by all means, just, I mean, you know, I'm going to let him know that he fucked up.
It's our prerogative. Especially we paid money for it.
No,
to see it.
Exactly.
Our money makes his shittiness possible.
Yes.
Anyway. So the nerdalos, the nerds, the geeks, the basement dwellers, the computer users. I guess we're all computer users now. That's an old stereotype. Old stereotype.
Everybody uses computers, Chris.
They've all gotten together at San Diego, and they are being catered to by all these big studios.
Yes.
Lots of big news gets broken during the 3-4 day Comic-Con event.
You are correct.
So I got a little bit of a rundown here. Some of the bigger stories.
I saw a picture of, what's his face? Mr. Brolin wearing the fucking Infinity Gauntlet.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Did you really?
Yep.
Hmm. How did you bother checking to make sure that was real? Or
it? No.
Really. That's a problem with this weekend.
Yeah.
Some news comes out, not factually.
It was just a picture. I didn't.
Because I didn't hear.
I got nothing.
I didn't hear or see anything about that. Brolin.
Yeah. Brolin. I think he might be Thanos.
That would be interesting. Is he? Was that already been cast? That might have already been. Anyway, we'll see. Got a lot to talk about. Got a lot to do here. San Diego Comic Con. One of the things, all right, this might be possible, could be, and it seems like this comes up every year, every couple of years, but we might finally have the video game, what, Brolin is Thanos?
Brolin is Thanos.
So they released a photo of him?
No, it was at Comic-Con. It's him.
Yeah.
Just, he's got the Thanos glove on.
Interesting. Interesting.
So he's going to be Thanos.
And then again, you called it. You called it a long time ago.
Infinity on stage Gauntlet. Wearing the Infinity Gauntlet, yeah.
You called it forever ago, Infinity Gauntlet. That's
dude, the second
going.
I heard they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, like before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Forever ago. Yeah. Forever ago, you called it.
I knew.
Yeah,
I knew what was happening.
Okay, that's very interesting. I did not. Because a lot of news comes out during this weekend. It's hard to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures of the Batman cape and cowl that they had on display?
Nope.
Yeah, on display, just the cowl connected to the cape, with the short ears and the furrowed brow built into the mask, so Batman always looks angry, you know? That was just on a case off the side. We'll talk more about Batman, Superman in a minute. One of the first, like I was saying, it might be, we say this every couple years, but it might be the first good video game-based movie. It's a possibility. This is a computer game, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Warcraft movie.
Yes.
They just put out some sort of teaser trailer. They had this display about all these weapons and stuff. Pretty big presence for the Warcraft movie. Only one reason why I think it might be good. It is directed by son of David Bowie, Duncan Jones, the guy who directed Moon.
Moon was awesome.
And Source Code.
Yeah.
Guy's a good director.
Both of them were good.
Both sci-fi movies, both good. He's the one doing the Warcraft movie. So now I'm hoping Warcraft is good just to get a good Duncan Jones movie.
Oh, there's going to be orcs, though.
That's the whole thing. It's humans versus orcs, and that's exactly what the teaser was about. The show, the human world and the orc world, and how it's building up to hold that thing. I've never played the games ever.
Yeah,
I have no idea what the games are really. Oh shit! Here we go. Where's the world? That sound can only mean one thing. It's time for Drew Skogman versus the World sparring round after Drew's win last week against Pedro Lima. What's your record?
I'm 8-2.
8-2? No, has that been updated, or are you 9-2?
Did I win against Pedro?
You beat Pedro, right? Yeah, no, you, or did you lose to Pedro?
I think I lost. I don't remember. You'd have to listen to last week's episode.
I'm
going to
have to go back and check
the
tape. But you've been doing very well this year.
I have been.
I'm looking forward to seeing how you do on this one. We're doing this is a game we've played before. It's called Taglines. I give you the marketing tagline that's like on the poster or the trailer or whatever. You give me the movie. So, for example, if the tagline is "In space, no one can hear you scream."
Alien.
Alien. That's great. Very good. So here we go. Number one. Quote. Not quote. But here's the tagline. All his life, Ray was searching for his dreams. Then one day, his dreams came looking for him. All his life, Ray was searching for his dreams. Then one day, his dreams
dreams. Oh man, I don't know.
Field of dreams. Dreams, comma, field of. Number two. The only thing getting blown tonight is their cover.
Wow.
The only thing getting blown tonight is their cover.
Oh, yeah, I got no clue.
21 Jump Street.
Oh.
Number three. An offer you can't refuse.
I got nothing.
The Godfather. The Godfather. Offer you can't refuse. Number four. The trick was to stay alive.
I have no idea.
Halloween. The original Halloween. Number five. You've read the ad. Now see the movie.
What?
That's a jokey one. You've read the ad. Now see the movie.
Nothing.
Airplane. Oh, number six. All the fun of college, none of the education.
How high?
No, old school. Oh. Close there. Snoop Dogg. Number seven. Your mind is the scene of the crime.
Inception?
Yeah, that's correct. There you go. Number eight. Alcatraz. Only one man has ever broken out. Now 5 million lives depending on two men breaking in. Hold on, let me reread that. Hold on. Alcatraz. Only one man has ever broken out.
No, I know what
now
it is.
Now 5 million lives depend on two men breaking
Nick Cage,
in.
Nick Cage, blah, blah, blah. The Rock.
The Rock is correct. Only I have broken out of The Rock. And I've done it twice.
The Rock.
Number nine. Heroes aren't born. They're built.
Pacific Rim.
No, Iron Man. Close one, though. Actually, that was a pretty good guess. That was actually a really good guess. And finally, number 10. Are you watching closely?
Oh, what was that stupid magician movie we saw with Jesse Eisenberg? Damn, I forget the name of it.
The Prestige.
Oh, it's behind me, damn it.
Poster's right behind you. So you got a 2 out of 10.
Pretty awful.
Not bad. Not good.
Pretty awful.
So did you ever play the Warcraft games at all?
Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2, and then Starcraft.
And then I played Warcraft 3, just the campaign, though.
So what's the movie, based on your experience playing the games, what do we expect from a movie?
It's going to be Lord of the Rings type shit. It's going to be fantasy violence, orcs versus humans, you know, kings, queens, warlords, silly goblins with bombs. I mean, it's just fantasy.
So it's just stereotypical fantasy, but with...
orcs and humans.
But with... the rapper of Warcraft, the known entity that is Warcraft, just a name slapped on it, then really nothing else standing apart. Huh?
Nope.
All right, well, I guess we'll see what old Duncan Jones, a.k.a. Zoe Bowie, does with it. Big announcement from Legendary Pictures. They're making a movie called Skull Island.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar at all, Drew?
Not really.
Skull Island is the home of, the fictional home of one gigantic... monkey.
Okay.
Known as King Kong.
Yes.
So Skull Island is a King Kong prequel. Didn't you always want to see how King Kong became King Kong?
He's just a big monkey.
Before, he was just plain old Kong, and somehow he had to become the king.
Did he?
We're going to find out.
Cinema Crest,
on the next episode. Now, the one thing about this news, how Legendary Pictures is doing a King Kong movie. Legendary Pictures also put out some news about Godzilla 2.
Uh-huh.
And how they actually put out who the villain, not the villains, but the other monsters are going to be in Godzilla 2. Godzilla, the one that just came out, had its own made up, the Mudos, its own made up monsters, which were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gareth Edwards is coming back to do the sequel.
Okay.
And they put out there who their monsters are going to be, and it's three well known monsters from Godzilla's past.
Okay.
You can easily guess at least one of them. Who's the most well-known of Godzilla's foes?
Mothra.
Mothra, absolutely. It'll be Mothra, Rodan, who is a pterodactyl type thing, and Ghidorah, who's like a giant dragon-headed monster thing, and his arms are also have like dragon heads on them.
Sweet.
Pretty crazy looking. So three pretty big Godzilla monsters in the next Godzilla movie, which will be made after Gareth Edwards finishes making his current Star Wars spin-off movie, which is either the Yoda. It's the Yoga Yoda. Yoga. That's
so was that Yoda and yogurt?
Have you heard about the new Yoda craze hitting the nation?
No.
It's spreading like wildfire from the West Coast. It's getting bigger now. They open up their first Yoda Yoga studio in New York City just the other week. Kind of, you know, try to time out the Comic-Con. And it's all, like, yoga moves. You know, meditation, but based on the teachings and words of Yoda from Empire Strikes Back.
So weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. But, you know, totally don't bother Googling it. It's true. You don't have to try to verify that. It's true.
Because Chris says so.
Just trust me on that. Surprising people for Paramount. No one really expected this. It was kind of a secret. But they... brought out Matthew McConaughey and Christopher Nolan to do a little bit on Interstellar.
Sweet.
Coming out November 7th.
McConaughey.
Got a quote here about McConaughey describing his first meeting with Christopher Nolan.
Uh-huh.
He says here, quote, "I got a call saying that Christopher Nolan's got a new film coming out and he'd like to meet you. So I fly to California and we meet at Nolan's house. We talked for 3 hours and didn't say one word about any film. It was just he and I talking. Evidently, he liked meeting me, and I liked meeting him. A week later, a script came. I read it. I liked it. I was in."
Hell yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. He also praised Nolan's working methods, explaining that when he gets to the set, Nolan has fully conceived the world already, and that he shoots very fast. It's almost an independent sort of production, McConaughey said, with just two or three takes before moving on. He called the director, quote, "a man whose reach constantly exceeds his grasp." And they showed a new trailer for Interstellar that apparently blew some people away.
Sweet.
We'll get to see it as the public, you know, pretty soon here, because the movie's coming out in only like 4 months now. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is with how... No, well, here you go. Here's a Christopher Nolan quote. Someone asked Nolan to provide a list of films, sci-fi films, that inspired him in making this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Nolan's response to that was, "I don't want to provide too complete a list, because when you see the film, you'll see all the things I ripped off."
Nice. Well, hey, what do I always say, Chris?
Right? Amateurs create professional steel. Nolan goes on to say, "I'm not joking when I say that. The single biggest influence will probably have to be 2001. We really had an ambition with this film, not to do what 2001 did, but to tell a similarly ambitious story in score and scale. I want kids to go with their parents and see that type of scale on screen. That's my ambition.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty exciting. He's trying to go out and make one of the biggest sci-fi movies ever, Christopher Nolan. Looking forward to that. That's November 7th.
Definitely.
Like we teased earlier, some Batman vs. Superman news. Officially titled Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. But they put out a teaser trailer. A really quick teaser that I think they put together only for Comic-Con. I'd be surprised if they show it in front of them. Eh, maybe they'll show it in theaters. We'll see. But even though it's not online, there's a description of the trailer, and it's pretty short. But that the short teaser opens with Batman in a full armor suit, like the one from Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Okay.
All right. The suit has glowing eyes, very mechanical. It's pouring rain. He pulls down a lever on something, and we realize it's the Bat Signal. It has the new Batman logo, reminiscent of the one from Miller's comic. The camera slowly pans up to reveal the signal projected in the air, but right in the middle of it, Superman. He's illuminated in the sky among the pouring rain with his red glowing eyes. Cut back to Batman, staring right back at Superman with his blue glowing eyes, and then we cut to the logo.
Okay.
So that's the teaser trailer that we may be seeing.
Interesting.
And they said very much that the suit is, you know, like that Dark Knight Returns suit, that really bulky one that he wears.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're pulling a lot from that comic book, that particular comic book,
yeah,
for the Batman vs. Superman aspect, which is kind of interesting. But they weren't done there when it comes to the Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice, parentheses, introducing Wonder Woman, introducing Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. We've got here, as you can see, Drew, they put out a picture of Wonder Woman, the first official still of her, or first official picture of
Interesting.
Her.
Interesting.
She's not in her iconic
no
red, blue, well, it looks, gold.
It looks like it's red, blue, and gold, but it's a dark red and a dark blue, and it looks a little tattered as well.
It looks mostly brown to me. Brown on brown with some brown on it. She looks like Xena.
Yeah, she kind of does.
She looks a little like Xena, the warrior princess. Someone did take this picture, and where's the one? I saw one where someone took the picture. Oh, here we go. And they photoshopped it a bit to make it look more like the traditional Wonder Woman suit. Here we go.
Ah, there we go. Yeah.
That looks like Wonder Woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does.
It's the exact same outfit. Same picture. They just made the top part red, her skirt part blue, gold trimming, big-ass gold boots. And yeah, and then yeah, that's unmistakably Wonder Woman. So we'll see how this all-brown Xena warrior princess-looking Wonder Woman works out. And then finally, what's going to be the biggest movie of next summer, for sure, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. They put out a series of character posters that when you put together, it makes one giant poster that I'll just go ahead and pass this along to you, Drew. You can see what it is. And it's, you know, Ultron is...
Oh, yeah.
And they announced what the essential plot of Avengers 2 is, that Tony Stark makes Ultron as like a defense thing or whatever. Ultron goes Skynet, self-aware.
Yep.
And then he builds a whole bunch of versions of himself.
Of sorts.
And then that's how, you know, he takes on the Avengers. And
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and this picture thing, this poster is like an army of these robots fighting the Avengers. And most of them are like, they're kind of losing. And then they put out another teaser trailer. I think like a Comic-Con specific trailer for Avengers 2. And people, they flipped out. They loved it. They thought it was great. It ends with Tony Stark holding a broken Captain America shield. Mm-hmm. And then like it pans back. And there's all this destruction and chaos around him. And the Avengers are all laying like on the ground dead.
Sweet.
So that got people pretty excited to see what's happening with the next Avengers movie. That's going to be a weird one. The opening weekend of the first one, $207 million opening weekend, biggest opening weekend ever for any movie in the history of movies and money.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, $207 million. Nothing's ever come close to making that. The next one is like $175 for the final Harry Potter movie.
Oh, wow.
Third highest grossing film of all time at $1.5 billion worldwide. Even though it had the biggest opening weekend, and if you compared it to Titanic and Avatar, crushed their opening weekends, because Avatar opened to like 60 or 70. Titanic around that same thing. Neither of them opened to over 100 million.
Oh, okay.
But Avatar went on to make $2.8 billion worldwide.
Yeah, it did.
It almost doubled the worldwide take of Avengers. Now, what's going to happen with Avengers 2? Is that going to... $200 million? That's an insane number. Can it repeat that? I don't know. That's going to be really tough. If it made $175 million, that would still be incredibly impressive. But in the long run, could it make $1.5 billion again? Will it make even more? Will it get closer to $2
billion? I don't know about that.
Those summer releases are tricky, man. They're crazy. You know. So we'll see about that. But yeah, a lot of stuff come out of San Diego Comic-Con. So thank you, nerds, for the reporting. We appreciate that. We got some questions on the Twitter from at Evan. Four E's on a van. Evan. From Evan. He said, this is pretty interesting. Terminator 2 and the world's biggest spoiler. He sent me this this link. It was from the dissolve.com, and it was about how Terminator 2. This is very interesting, Drew. You might get a kick out of this.
Okay.
If you watch Terminator 2 Judgment Day, the first 20, 30 minutes of the movie, if you really pay attention to the way the movie is presented, it's not immediately clear that Schwarzenegger's Terminator character has been sent back to protect John Connor.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you see him coming back. He goes to a bar. He does this thing where he aggressively takes clothes from people.
Yeah, and you think it's maybe a rehash of the first one.
He's coming back. And then the Robert Patrick's character shows up. You don't know that he's a liquid robot or anything.
Yeah, no.
He seems human. It's not really revealed until they get to the shootout where they both show up at the same time. And Robert Patrick tries to shoot the kid, tries to shoot Eddie Furlong. And Schwarzenegger saves him. That's supposed to be the big reveal. Oh, shit. The Terminator's a good guy this time around.
Uh-huh.
That's when you watch the movie, that's the way it's presented. But then here's what happened. Here's what ruined it for everyone. All the marketing, all the commercials, everything leading up to the release of the movie spoiled that immediately.
Yeah.
Spoiled the fact that he's a good guy. It spoiled the fact that
the other guy's the bad guy and he's bad guy. Liquid metal.
Exactly. It let all those cats out of the bag. And what should have been one of the most mind-blowing things in terms of like sci-fi action movies and one of the biggest reveals ever ended up being one of the biggest spoilers ever.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting little article there. That's why marketing is crazy, man. It's a big budgeted film. They wanted to make their money back. They're trying to get butts in seats. The purse string holders didn't care about the art of the reveal.
Yeah, no.
They just wanted that money.
Yes.
You know? Which you ended up getting anyway. At Mr. Natathon writes, besides Airplane, what are some of the best over-the-top spoofs? Watching Top Secret right now, so good. I mean, Airplane is it, though. You know. Airplane is number one when it comes to like spoof-type movies.
I mean, all of the Mel Brooks stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, that run with the Blazing Saddles and... Young Frankenstein, Spaceballs, where he's spoofing different genres and stuff. Yeah. Mel Brooks is really good.
All those were good.
UHF. I love Weird Al's UHF. That's a spoof movie where he's spoofing the pop culture of the time and the movies and TV shows of the time and stuff.
Don't Be a Menace to South Central. Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
That's a good one. That might be the last good one.
Yeah.
Because that's a 90s one.
Yeah. The ultimate gangster rap spoof movie.
That actually... if you want to go back with Wayne and spoof movies, I'm going to get you, sucker.
Yeah, that was a good 80s. One, too.
Yeah, that one spoofing the blaxploitation movies of the 70s, the Shaft type movies. Also throwing a little Rambo 3 reference in there at one point that made me laugh. So there's some good spoof movies out there for sure. Top Secret, obviously, is a good one. Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2. Hot Shots doing Top Gun. Hot Shots Part 2 doing taking more again to Rambo.
Yeah.
Rambo, a lot of spoofing of Rambo. UHF. Hot Shots Part 2, pretty easy to make fun of that movie, I guess. Those movies, Rambo 2 and 3. And then, spoof movies have gotten so bad lately. Now it's just an epic movie, date movie, those pieces of crap, scary movie.
God awful.
So bad. Like, not even smart about what they're doing. Just really lame rehashes of pop culture moments. Yep. And just,
as opposed to smart satire.
Yeah, like Airplane or Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Yes, Naked Gun. At Rage Against Wit writes, I know Joaquin Phoenix is weird and does strange roles. Parentheses, loved her.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
But can he be the Doctor, Joaquin Phoenix? But Benedict Cumberbatch dropped out of Doctor Strange.
Which is a shame because he would have been the most awesome Doctor Strange.
He would have been awesome Doctor Strange. But now we got Joaquin Phoenix in talks to join the production and be Doctor Strange.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. What do you think?
I don't know about that. It'd be weird. I wouldn't imagine him as a Doctor Strange. I mean, if he, you know, give him a goatee and a cape and see what happens.
Could be magic.
Yeah.
Or could be...
could be mayhem.
Or could be terrible. That comes down a lot more, I think, to the director, though. The Scott Derrickson guy. The guy who did these horror movies, like The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And what's this one that we just watched? God damn, I can't think of it. You don't talk about it. Oh, yeah. Did we watch it? No, we didn't see it. Deliver Us from Evil?
No.
I think he did that one. Scott Derrickson. Yeah, I don't know, man. Joaquin Phoenix, I like him. But do I even want to see him doing, like, a Marvel comic movie, even if it's something as weird as Doctor Strange?
I don't know. I mean, it'll...
let him do more interesting movies like Her and The Master, more challenging stuff like that, right?
Agreed.
Rage Against Sweat also writes, I loved Dragging Me to Hell, but I don't know. Has Antihero 419 played this? It looks like, announced at Comic-Con, Sam Raimi, director of Dragging Me to Hell, has announced that he's doing, was it The Last of Us?
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, The Last of Us was, it's a PlayStation exclusive, so I never got to play it. It was put out by Naughty Dog, the same guys who did the Uncharted series.
Okay.
The way they're supposed to play more like movies than video games.
Right.
I've always wanted to play them, but I've never had a chance to.
You haven't had a chance to play them.
But I know The Last of Us, I know the basic plot line. It's the one where, you know... remember the...
it's like End of the World, right?
Yeah, but if, remember the BBC Earth series? And they had those ants with the crazy fungus that made them go all crazy and then go up and then...
yeah.
That with humans.
Okay. Fun.
Yeah. Apparently the first, like, 45 minutes of the game are some of the most depressing things you'll ever see in your life. But after you get through that first 45 minutes, I guess it's a really fun game.
All right.
Okay. I've never had a chance to play it, though. But if he's going to do a movie of it, that sounds really fucking nuts.
Could be interesting. Could be interesting. And finally, Rage Against Sweat also wanted to point this out. I felt it was worth talking about. He found this on the Facebook.
The Book of Faces.
And he says he doesn't know how accurate it is. Good to question something like this. Someone, it is floating around. It's like a little pictograph of all the Marvel movie release dates.
Okay.
Because all the release dates are out there, so someone put together different titles. And I can tell you now, some of those are correct, and some of those are made up.
Captain America, The Fallen Sun, nice. Doctor Strange, yeah. Thor, Ragnarok. Guardians of the Galaxy, War of Kings. I can't believe they're coming out with a Black Panther movie. Avengers Civil War, I can see that coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
World War Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the fuck the Inhumans are.
Okay, so of all of these, you want to take a guess which ones are fake?
Maybe the Captain America one.
That is the Captain America release date, I believe.
Yeah.
But they don't have a subtitle for it yet.
It's what I figured.
Yeah. Ant-Man, July 17th, it's obvious. Captain America, May 6th, 2016. Doctor Strange is coming out July 8th,
okay,
2016. May 5th, 2017, Thor Ragnarok.
Is that really the name of the movie?
Has not been announced, the release date, or the name.
Okay.
Now, it's reasonable to assume that could be Thor, because the release dates are all correct.
Yeah.
So it could be Thor, but they... I don't know. If they did call it Ragnarok, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a fun word to say.
Yeah.
July 28, 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was announced at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
However, the subtitle, War of Kings... I don't know where that came from. They just said it was Guardians of the Galaxy 2. James Gunn's coming back to write it and direct it.
Sweet.
Yep. November 3rd, 2017, Black Panther movie. They are making a Black Panther movie for sure.
So weird.
Hasn't been tied to any release date, though, as of yet. July 6th, 2018, Avengers Civil War again.
Would that be the Avengers 3?
That would be Avengers 3. Timeline-wise, 3 years from now for Avengers 3, that would make sense. So that's kind of extrapolating, you know.
I figured the I figured Avengers 3 would have been the Infinity Gauntlet, unless they're making.
Well, that's the thing. Civil War has not been Civil War is not announced. Yeah. That's not the title. Someone made that part up.
I would have figured Avengers 3 would have been the Infinity Gauntlet, unless they're doing it with Avengers 2. But no, but Avengers 2 is the Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
So yeah, so number 3's got to be the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. So Civil War, not correct. They followed up with World War Hulk again. They have not announced a title for the Hulk movie, but it is reasonable that that could be the Hulk release statement. So it's that's an educated guess. And then this last thing, the Inhumans, that's someone just having a bit of wankery. No one knows what that is.
Yeah.
Someone just putting shit out there. So there you go. I got, you know what? I think we do. Let me check. And yes. New York City correspondent Billy D checking in with a question. So let's finish it out on this one. He writes, "What's happening, my dude? So much excitement out of CDCC this week."
CDCC? Was that the Center for Disease Control Con?
Center for Disease Control Con. SDCC this week. Batfleck grimaces. Wonder Woman's wonders. Ant-Man's ants in the pants. What was the biggest piece of news or what got you the most excited? I am Batfleck, Billy D.
I mean, for me, it's knowing that I was right and Brolin having the Infinity Gauntlet on his hand.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's, I mean, it just it proves I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't see that one, but that's a good one. I like the reveal that they're going with the Dark Knight Returns version of the Batman like fighting suit or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's funny that they show Batman in that suit, his Superman busting suit, and they also show apparently a quick shot of Ultron using a Hulkbuster suit and fighting Hulk in the Avengers suit. So a lot of suits to bust up stronger dudes.
You need them.
I find it very interesting that they're going with the... they're really pulling a lot from Dark Knight Returns. You know, the older Batman.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they're going to go down that road, considering they're also trying to make this a Justice League prequel. Those two things really don't go together. The Dark Knight Returns is thoroughly... an older Batman story with a Superman extended cameo.
Mm.
Wonder Woman's in it, but she's also old, I believe. Okay. Right? I think so. I haven't read that. I've read the book in a minute.
So
I don't know. I don't know how Batman v Superman colon Dawn of Justice is going to work out. Yeah, but we'll see. You know what? I wanted to bring this up. This might be also up there for more exciting for me for San Diego Comic-Con news. Guillermo del Toro was there with a display for his next movie, Crimson Peak, which is an R-rated haunted house gothic horror type movie.
Interesting.
And he had a booth set up where... You can go get freaked out. The front of the booth, it was set up to look like the gates of a house or whatever. And when you walk in, it's very small but very detailed. There's a lot of like props from the movie. And apparently, if you look through everything, it'll tell you the story of the movie in prop form. And like... someone brought a camera in there. Well, not a camera, but their phone, and did some recording so you could see what's going on. The ceiling, they did the ceiling so it looked like it was cracked and you could see through it, and it was a nighttime sky and there were like birds and stuff flying back and forth. It looked really cool, very atmospheric. And the video that I watched was Guillermo del Toro himself was like walking the people around and describing things and talking about the movie and stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then they showed some like footage, a little teaser from the movie, and del Toro talked about it, revealed that he's shooting for an R rating and stuff like that. So that's pretty exciting. New Guillermo del Toro. The footage apparently has a lot in the style of Kronos or Devil's Backbone, Pan's Labyrinth, a.k.a. his better movies.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's what I'm looking forward to out of the San Diego Comic-Con. Check my notes. I think that brings us to the end of the show.
That's that one.
Hope you guys enjoyed what we had to offer you. You can go back and check out some of our bonus episodes. We did that Crespo Diso Film School on Martin Scorsese. Got a lot of positive response to that one, Drew.
Yeah.
People really liked it. They want more.
All right. Well, we'll have to do some more then.
So more will be coming forthwith. Next, though, I think is Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Probably, I think, in a couple weeks, it's going to be time for that.
Is it?
I think next week is going to be time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Oh, so we're looking forward to that one. That's going to be a lot of fun, followed up by a CCN Outrageous episode. And then another Crespo Disco.
You can't do two outrages. I'm going to do outrages.
Okay, well, then we'll do a Crespo Disco and then outrages. Or you can do an outrages? Are you doing specifically your outrages?
Yes, I'm going to get really angry.
Drew's outrages. Ooh. That's going to be fun. Vitriolic.
It's going to be me talking shit on people.
It may be a little depressing.
Probably a lot depressing.
How exciting. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, people, for listening and downloading. Thank you, Drew.
Very welcome, sir.
I'll give you one of these as an outro. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And thank you very much, people, for downloading again. Please tell people to check us out. We would really appreciate the help. August 16th, Wall Street Plaza, SBK Live Local Music Showcase. So we're going to be there hanging out.
Oh, well, we ever
drinking some new Belgiums and shaking hands, kissing babies.
Shaking babies, kissing hands.
Shaking babies and kissing hands. So come out. Come hang out with us. Listen to some good live local music. Drink some delicious beer. And we'll all be cool together, man. It'll be a lot of fun. Like, dig it, baby. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, baby?
That's whatever
it.
You say, dude.
All right. All right, so I'm going to go get some more beer and edit the show and put it out there for the world to listen to.
Oh, screw the world. They don't need to listen to this shit.
Well, they don't need to listen to it. But it would be nice if they did.
Would it?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.